What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to episode number 516 of the Smart Out Moment Smack Talk Podcast Hot Tags. I'm your host, as always, Tony Mango. Joining me, as always, is Robert E. Felice.
Here we go again, Tony. And I'm excited to talk about some hot tags with you.
If you don't know what the hot tags are, it's our breakdown of all the things we feel like talking about in the world of pro wrestling that have happened in the past few days. It's normally a collection of TV talk and some rumor stuff and just the current events and news and gossip and other things. Sometimes we have trademarks. This week, I don't have any that I came across or anything interesting like that. But, you know, we got some new roster stuff with the draft going into effect. We had Crown Jewel yesterday, so check back on the Crown Jewel review if you want to check out the positives and negatives when it comes to that. And we're going to talk PWI top 150, or at least the top 10 out of the top 150. We're going to give you the breakdown of the Champs Giving tournament that you guys had voted on for who is the best King of the Ring of all time prior to this week. And other things. Other things can be good. Other things can be pretty bad, too. I mean, sometimes somebody gives you other things and you're like, mustard. Awful, awful. Hate it. Ugh, disgusting. We're also going to give you our predictions for NXT's Halloween Havoc, since that is happening at a time frame where we're not going to do another podcast in the meantime for that. It's happening on Tuesday, and the next time you're hearing from us is going to be most likely Wednesday. So, yeah, we can't do predictions for it afterward, right? That wouldn't make any sense.
Well, no, then you just get all the predictions right.
Imagine getting it wrong. We're also going to tell you about the TBS Women's Championship Tournament bracket that they had announced on Rampage. And I don't know, we might get into some other random stuff. So, in any fashion...
We'll talk about how Sasha Banks says she won't be in The Mandalorian.
Oh, she won't be? I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, she said that. I don't believe her.
So that means clearly she is Snoke. And
she filmed for something, I'm sure. So we'll see.
Maybe she's in Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah. I don't know when any of those shows premiere when they come back and whatever, because, you know, hashtag Last Jedi sucked, and it kind of made it to where I don't follow Star Wars as much anymore. But Book of Boba Fett looks pretty sweet, so...
Baby Yoda saved the franchise, Tony.
Baby Yoda... If Baby Yoda would have been the only thing they would have done in the sequels, then maybe I would have liked the sequels, because Baby Yoda's pretty sweet. But, yeah. So, anyway, if you want more talk about Star Wars and everything like that, go to fanboysanonymous.com and check out the movie review stuff. And, you know, we've talked recently about a lot of James Bond stuff, so there's the Review to a Kill series over there, and... You know, if you are following one site, you're following the other one, do the same thing you do for both of them. Make sure you are subscribed. Ring the little notification bell so that way you know when new videos and everything go put up on the YouTube channels. Leave comments on the videos. Always tell me what you're thinking about stuff. If it's like, you know, 2 years after we've posted something, if somebody leaves a comment, I read it. Because what else am I going to do? Not read it? Nah, I'm not a jerk. I am, kind of. I'm more of a prick than an asshole, though. But, yeah, when you're doing that, hit the like button if you like it, because that helps out quite a bit on the algorithm stuff. Hit the share button if you want to pass it along to anybody. And if you want to help us out on the monetary side of things and really directly make sure that we continue to keep the lights on here for both of these different projects, a couple different ways that you can do it are the Patreon and the join button on YouTube. They're exactly the same thing. They get access to the bonus episodes. There are bonus features on Fanboys. There are dark casts on there. It's the same thing. And then there's the Pick Your Poison tier, where you can request something in particular and directly finance that episode of whatever it is, or that editorial, or whatever it might be. Like, I don't know, maybe you're itching for me to finish up doing my Fanboys Fix It Generation 2 of Pokemon, based off of the one that I did with Generation 1. Or maybe you really want us to watch another fan tracks of something, or you want us to do a Mount Rushmore of, I don't know, pro wrestling boots. Or something. I don't have any idea.
All right, where are the Iron Sheik's boots on your breast?
Not on the Mount Rushmore. I think they're terrible.
You don't like the curly toe?
Not at all. And that goes all to right. Xavier Woods' curly toe thing either. I'm not a fan of Wizard of Oz. Fuck Wizard of Oz. Overrated movie.
Really?
That is one of my hard stances. I think it's terrible. I do not like that movie. Oh, it's a classic, whatever. Nah, the Munchkin Guild or whatever they're called. No, all of it. Terrible. So now somebody's like, I don't like this Fanboys Anonymous thing. I like the, I don't know, Toto. Toto's cool.
Well, the good news is we're not on Fanboys Anonymous.
Yeah, so that's everyone, Fanboys. On Smart Cut Memo here. We're into the pro wrestling stuff. So we're going to dive into pro wrestling. And I guess I'm going to put my toe in first because I don't dive into pools. I just kind of ease my way in and go, wow, it's a little bit colder than I thought that it was. So we're going to go with
your curly toe.
We don't have the full list for this, but let's talk about it. PWI has expanded. They have a women's top 150 list now. And the top 10 have been released with the big, of course, you know, who's number one? That's the main thing. Number one's Bianca Belair. And for just to rounding it out for the discussion point, I'll go backwards, actually. Number 10 is Raquel Gonzalez. Number 9 is Tam Nakano from Stardom. Okay. 8 is Io Shirai.
Bull Nakano.
Yeah, sure. 8 is Io Shirai. 7 is Sayuri from Stardom. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Sayuri. It's S-Y-U-R-I. I'm assuming Sayuri. Number 6 is Sasha Banks.
Call her Yuri and assume the S is silent.
That's Phil, and every part of it's silent. And there's actually a P-H-I-L in there. Sasha Banks is number 6. Number 5 is Thunder Rosa. Number 4 is Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Number 3 is your girl Deonna Purrazzo. Number 2, I don't know how to pronounce this one either, from Stardom, Utami Shoshashi. What's the thing from Krusty? Yeah, yeah.
Hold on. What is the name?
It's a Hayashishida. Utami Hayashishida. That's probably how I pronounce it. I've never heard of her, or I don't watch Stardom. So the three ones from Stardom, I just literally have never heard of before. So of course I don't know how to pronounce their names either. But I also don't know. Like, Tam Nakano is number 9. She should be number 4. Like, I've never seen a match or anything.
So, off the top of my head, yeah, I know Sasha didn't do much. But she did headline Mania, and I think she should be a little higher on the list because of that.
I mean, number 6.
Baker and Rosa being back-to-back makes perfect sense. I like that you called her my girl, Deonna Purrazzo, for reasons that you guys will discover when we're doing some content that you got coming down the pike later on. And I wear that proudly because I do legitimately think she's one of the best, if not the best, in the world currently today.
And the reason why I did that is because midway through the episode, Rob just starts going, my girl, talking about my girl. An outro.
And Bianca deserves it. Royal Rumble winner, main event WrestleMania in a singles match, the only female to have ever won a singles match at WrestleMania in the main event, Hell in a Cell winner.
Is that how we're classifying it now, just to say first time ever? Like, because it was a triple threat and all that? Like,
listen, it's burned in my brain to stretch these things out for words and articles. So, yes.
The only woman to ever win a main event of a singles capacity on night one of WrestleMania in Florida.
It just expands as time goes. But yeah, she definitely deserves it, and kudos to her.
Noticeably absent from the top 10, Rhea Ripley.
Have you seen her this year?
I mean, theoretically, that's the thing. Like, Rhea was the runner-up in the Royal Rumble. And she beat Asuka to win the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania.
What'd she do after that?
Well, I mean, think about it when it comes to a lot of this. What did Sasha do? She was in the main event, and she lost, and then she fucked off for a couple of months.
But she laughed.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
She is doing very well, by the way, on timing her entrance with her dum da dun dun da dun 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 dun. She fucking nailed it today on SmackDown.
Yeah, she is a star in every sense of the word. I think she's the best women's wrestler of all time. Suck it, everybody else. Sasha Banks is legitimately, like, she changed the game in ways that people don't want to give her credit for right now. but she's the best.
So, I mean, the top list for any of these things, you're always going to have people that are like, no, I think this should be like whatever. It's all subjective. And, you know, even PWI, I'm sure, doesn't take this as much into account as some people are going to be super upset that like Rose is number five instead of number four or, you know, that kind of thing. But it's got to be pretty cool to be Bianca and to get that on top of everything. Because you can still say, hey, I was number one on the PWI list. That's pretty neat.
If you're a weirdo that's like, no, Rosa should be number four if they're number five, I'd love to meet you, just see what you got going on up there. Just like, if you take it that seriously, I don't know, man.
Well, the full 150 hasn't been released yet, but I guarantee you there will be message boards out there where somebody will be like, that number 28 one really should have been number 26 or number 25. Like, yeah, it happens with anything like that.
Do you think Ripley is before 20?
Yeah, I think she's probably going to be somewhere around like the 13 mark or so. I think because they take kayfabe mostly into account, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, she did win that or whatever. Like, I would assume around that 20 range would be maybe you're getting close, like around 18 or so might be like, well, maybe not. I was going to say maybe Nikki ASH is like the 20 mark. Yeah, you know, she still might make it. Nikki
I'll
might.
I'll say she's like 12 on the rest. On the list.
Ripley or Nikki?
Ripley. Nikki is probably like 30 something. Because she did a lot of nothing this year.
She did win Money in the Bank and the championship, but the championship reign was utterly useless. So, I don't know. We'll see. Eventually, when they release top 50 or top 150, then we'll talk about it a little bit more. But that's a talking point. Bianca Belair ranking number one, and that might spoil how a lot of us look at the end of the year awards, because it's like, well, yeah, Bianca was kind of like the girl this year above like anybody else when it comes to WWE.
Absolutely, and I think she deserves the accolade she's getting.
Big fan of Bianca Belair, so thumbs up on that. Let's talk about something else here that involves with the women, not in like a list ranking, but a tournament ranking in some fashion. The TBS Women's Championship bracket has been revealed, and I'm a little confused about it, to be perfectly honest. Because the way that it is right now, Anna Jay and Jamie Hayter are in the first round. The Bunny against Red Velvet. Then you've got, make sure that I got this, because I'm watching this stupid GIF and now just like that. Let me pause that. You got Serena Deeb against Hikaru Shida, which makes sense based off of their last encounter, where if Shida gets another win, she's the first to win 50 matches, and Deeb upset that and broke the award and everything. You got Penelope Ford against Ruby Soho, but then you got four bye rounds. Where Thunder Rosa, Jade Cargill, Nyla Rose, and Chris Statlander didn't have first round matches.
I guess the roster's just not that deep.
Well, they got the people. That's what's confusing about it. Because there's plenty of people that aren't involved in this that are on the roster. Like, you've got Big Swole. Unless, like, you know, she's injured or something. Like, the same with everybody. Unless they're injured. But you got Riho. She couldn't do anything. You got Emi Sakura. You got Kier Hogan, Leva Bates, Layla Hirsch, Taikon Shi, Yuka Sakazaki.
Yeah, it does seem weird that they've decided to go with the four buys.
And then you got people like Kylan King, you got Abaddon. Like, there's other people, too, that I didn't mention right there. And all the people that pop up on the regular basis on Dark, too. Like, give one of them a shot and have them against... You know, trying to Vert Vixen against Nyla Rose, and Nyla Rose beats the living shit out of her, and you move on. This is an odd choice because there's nothing that I admittedly, I wasn't watching during the segment for them to announce if they would have been like that. I was kind of half in and half out because I was watching 205 Live and doing coverage. But as far as I'm aware, they haven't announced why they get the bye.
I guess it's just to make the most out of 12. And they definitely did that because I'm definitely looking forward to seeing at least one of these if not a lot of these matches, because look, we've got Ruby, who I think is going to go all the way. I think it'll be Ruby and Statlander in the semis. That'll be a match worth watching. I think Jade goes all the way to the finals. I think, honestly, finals might end up being Ruby and Jade, and I think Jade takes it.
So it's looking like maybe the justification is they're ranked in the top five, and that gives them that bye.
Okay, well, that's, you know what?
Because the other one would be in the top five. The other one would be Ty Conchi, and she's the one who is going to be, like, challenging next. So I'll give them credit for that, then. Look at that. AEW happens to do something that seems like it doesn't make sense, and when you look into it a little bit more, you go, hey, no, actually. Just like how the other time we were like, why is the Eliminator Tournament happening, whatever, and then it was like, no, actually, it's happening at the thing. Makes sense.
Good.
So, hey, neat. I love it when things make sense.
Tony, what's the saying?
Good things are good. It's in the article that I wrote up yesterday. They didn't take it out. So it's stamped out there for
even more people.
Yeah, the official stamp of approval for Xavier Woods is good things are good. And so the way that this bracket is going to play out, I am assuming Jamie Hayter beats Anna Jay. You get Jamie Hayter against Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa beats Jamie Hayter. You got the Bunny and Red Velvet are going to get sacrificed to Jade Cargill. It doesn't matter. It's Jade Cargill versus Thunder Rosa on the one side. And then the other side, you've got Deeb and Sheeta. Winner fights Rose. I kind of feel like Rose is going to beat either of them just because whoever wins that match is going to interfere and Rose is going to capitalize. And I agree with you, Soho beats Ford, and it's Soho against Statlander, because even though that's heel babyface, doesn't matter, they do plenty of babyface matches. So I'm leaning towards the final actually being Cargill against Rose.
Cargill against Rose makes a lot of sense. I'm going Cargill, Soho. I can see them wanting to capitalize on Ruby. But I guess we'll see. That's the beauty of it.
In any fashion, this is different from what that sheet of paper was for how Tony Khan had this planned out ahead of time, if we're going to believe that.
Yeah, well, if you're believing the women's side of it, because the men's side of it seems to actually level out to Brian and Mox.
Yeah, that is heading towards that direction, I'm pretty sure. And then it seems like the other thing that involves Cody, that might be heading in that direction as well. But the idea before was Rosa Cargill short. And they can't have that there. Unless that's... Wait a minute. That's dumb. Again, I'm doing something that I'm not giving credit to where it's due. This ends on January 5th, if I'm remembering correctly. So this is past Full Gear. So they will do Rosa Cargill at Full Gear, and it'll be a short match. That's what it is. Look at that. An extra 2 seconds of thought, and we figured it out. So could have thought of that ahead of time. I could technically edit that out and just kind of be like, you know, I didn't even think that.
We knew the whole time. Yeah.
But you know what? I'm not, because I am accountable. That's what I am. And when I'm dumb, I am dumb. So yeah, Rosa and Cargill at Full Gear as one of the championship tournament matches. It'll be a short match, it seems, which all the more reason for me to assume that Jade Cargill wins that. So I'm full blown, even more so now. I'm thinking we get Cargill versus Rose. You're thinking Cargill versus Ruby Soho.
I'm thinking Cargill Soho.
And I think we probably both would agree then, most likely Jade Cargill's winning this.
I think so, unless the decision is, let's go with Soho just to stick it to WWE, because Soho hasn't won a belt on TV ever. So we'll see.
So then that takes us into another tournament to talk about, the Champs Giving tournament that we had up on smartguymoment.com. This was who is the best WWE King of the Ring of all time so far. It's the best way that I could really kind of put it. where you guys had the opportunity for the past few weeks to vote on the different people who have been King of the Ring in the past, whether they've won a tournament or they've been somebody who beats somebody for the crown, like Shinsuke Nakamura was in there because even though he didn't win the tournament kind of deal, he beat Baron Corbin, so he became King Nakamura. And the breakdown of this, we're not going to go super deep into it. Like, we normally we would do a full video, but I don't think we really need to. And that cuts down on time, and I'm having a busy week and everything, so...
What's so busy?
Yeah, nothing, you know. I do this, I do that. A couple I do's.
I see. lots of ideas, gotcha.
So this is a shorter breakdown of what it was, but in our qualifying round, the people who did not make it were Don Morocco, Mabel, Tito Santana, Ken Shamrock, Billy Gunn, Haku, Jim Duggan didn't make it into the qualifying round past that point. I think he did, didn't he? Wait, let me double check that wasn't... I forget how many people I needed to eliminate. So, no, and then that was the last one. It was Duggan. So, them being eliminated from the qualifying round, I'm not too shocked. Because not many people really talk about King Ken Shamrock being one of the best of all time or something, you know?
Yeah. If the Rock had won that tournament, though, different thing entirely. People would say, oh, he's right up there with Austin.
Right, which we'll get into in a little bit, but first round we got Randy Savage against Nakamura, Harley Race against Ted DiBiase, Bret Hart against King Barrett, Stone Cold against King Sheamus, Owen Hart against King Corbin, King Booker against King Edge the Awesome, Triple H against Brock, and Kurt Angle against William Regal, and it all funneled into the eventual result of the final being King Booker against Stone Cold. And all up until earlier today, when I had checked, King Booker was winning. But by the time I closed the poll, for a 2-vote difference, Stone Cold wins the tournament and edges that out.
So ridiculous.
I disagree with it. It's not how I would have voted. It's not how I did vote. I'll say that, you know, because it's not how I would have. No, how I did vote. Instead, when I think King of the Ring, I tend not to think Stone Cold because I think, well, Stone Cold was the promo. He doesn't really seem like King of the Ring to me. And I know that that's going to be, some people are going to be like, well, that, you know, who cares? That's what's the most important thing was that. To an extent, sure. But I like my kings to be king afterward. And to do at least something that can indicate that it meant more than just that he won an arbitrary tournament. Because Stone Cold could have won a number one contenders tournament that had nothing to do with King of the Ring. He never put the crown on. He never became... You don't have to go full-blown King Booker. But, like... You know, I voted King Booker over him because, to me, King Booker made that worthwhile. I liked Macho King over Austin, too. I voted for Macho King, Randy Savage over Austin in the semifinals.
I could agree with that.
And I think I actually might have voted Bret Hart over Steve Austin in the final, the round before that. I didn't vote Sheamus over Austin, though. Because even then, I'm like, all right, he did do the King Sheamus thing, but let's give a little bit of credit to the Austin thing, too. You know what I mean?
Well, Sheamus would have been a good one if they would have wanted to do anything with it. Same thing with, you know, Barrett. Same thing with, honestly, pretty much all of them except hopefully Woods. But yeah, Austin's never been a great King of the Ring to me. I would have went with Booker just because, but I think overall my pick would have either been Owen Hart or Macho King.
Macho King probably would have gotten my vote throughout the whole tournament if he would have continued to go on. Even though Owen Hart has a special place in my heart, huh? Without the E, I guess.
Funny.
I do think I probably would have gone, if it would have been like Owen and Randy at the finals, I think I probably would have gone Randy. But King of Hearts, man, I love King of Hearts. That's my favorite version of Owen. Not the caution tape, not the nugget. Yeah. Although I do like the Blackheart. Blackheart was a pretty cool name.
King of Hearts is easily the best tart.
With the da 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 kind of theme.
Yep.
Very 80s, very cool. So that's your Champsgiving tournament. It's something that it was a little bit rushed this year just because of everything that's going on. And it wasn't the tournament that I actually thought that I was going to be doing. I thought that this year was going to be when I was going to do the vote on the belts. And you can, you know, see the belts when you're voting on it. But I didn't have the time to be able to do that because everything was so crazy. And that takes way too much time to be able to, like, you know, get all the graphics sorted out. Especially because I wanted to do that with the WWE Championship. And there's a lot of old titles where there's not many pictures, so I would have to edit those, and you know, but that's kind of the game plan for next year. I'll probably do that for next year if I've got the time, and maybe something else instead if anybody thinks of any other suggestions in the meantime. Like, I'm up for doing, you know, best Triple Crown winners or something like that instead. As far as the closest call, the landslides, that kind of thing, closest call was the finals. Biggest landslide was Randy Savage beating Ted DiBiase, which was 44-1. So only $1 million man vote on there. And nothing really shocked me. Because Austin just keeps winning these kind of polls. If it could be like, who's your favorite, you know, long-haired wrestler of all time, and Austin's on the list, then people tend to vote Austin sometimes, you know? Like, so.
It makes sense. It always checks out.
Stunning Steve. So anyway, that is the Champsgiving tournament for 2021. Thank you to everybody who voted on that. And yeah, drop your comments below and tell me what you think about some other thing in the future. The next tournament that is going to come around will be the Smark Madness for next year in March. Or maybe in April. I don't know when I really... Or not in April. What am I saying? That doesn't make any sense. Maybe I'll start it in February is what I'm trying to get it for. Maybe it carries on through March and into April. I don't know. Point being, Smark Madness is the next one. So.
Quick turnarounds.
I do want to do the quick turnaround things. That should be a lot of fun. I don't know if we'll get a chance to do that before the Smark Madness, just based off of the way that next couple of months are going to go, but possibility. It is quick, so maybe. Maybe we do that in December, just to get it out of the way and make sure that we did one this year. But that's Champsgiving. Let's move on to another topic here. Let's talk about some of the TV stuff, because a lot of this will factor in here. Actually, there's one thing that I'll mention before we get into the TV stuff, because this she didn't pop up, but there's a rumor going around that Shotzi Blackheart's going to be a heel. And I don't think I like it.
That's like saying, hey, we decided today that chocolate is a heel. You know, like, chocolate is bad now.
Yeah, Callum.
Yeah. Shotzi's a fun-loving person. Stop.
Shotzi's whole character is that she's like this cool rebel, the chick that you'd want to hang out with. Kind of fun person. Yeah, I don't think she's a heel. But maybe they've got a character change that they want to do with her. Maybe they want to make her a heel and a different type of presentation. Maybe she doesn't have the tank anymore. I don't know. Because why not get rid of fun things? And we'll see. It might not even be true. Take it with a grain of salt, just like with every other kind of rumor.
Speaking of rumors, let's talk about some other draft changes following some NXT or former NXT superstars.
Which one are you pitching this to? You lost me on it.
let's talk about Top Dollar.
Okay, you're going to go to that one, yeah. So on SmackDown tonight, we had our official debut on the main roster of Hit Row. And the rumor that's going around here, and I can kind of see it, so I believe it, is that they've transitioned it where Hit Row is no longer led by Isaiah Swerve Scott, but that it's Top Dollar that is the quote-unquote leader of Hit Row, in the sense that he'll probably talk the most, since that seems to be what they like, is, you know, him doing like the rapping and everything. But even on this episode, they shared the mic, so it's not necessarily like, okay, well then, you know, that's the case. But he was positioned in the center of the group. He got the pin. I can see that being the case.
You know why?
Because he's a bigger guy.
And other people are.
Not quite Babatunde level, but I did how they booked him. I liked how they had, let me see what Dallas has up here for this. Dustin Lawyer and Daniel Williams were the jobbers. And very quickly, by having it just the way that some of this stuff is as simple as it is, you get two smaller guys that make Top Dollar look bigger, and he carries both of them and slams them and whatever, and people are like, oh, cool, that's another big guy. Yeah. That's how it works. That fast, he's over.
Imagine that.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see if Top Dollar is 100% positioned as the leader as time goes on, but I believe it. I think that's going to end up being the case.
And who's hotter than Top Dollar?
Bob Holla.
Bob Holla. Now, he's the guy. You didn't give him...
He's got an idea. I'm making that the thumbnail. I made a fake thumbnail that was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to make it the thumbnail. Why the fuck not?
I got an idea. Give me your belt.
Hey, I got an idea. Give me your belt. And then I beat everyone. Let's backtrack a little bit here. Let's talk about some other TV stuff that'll work itself into some other points of conversation. Let's go to Monday Night Raw. We talked about some of the stuff leading into Crown Jewel, so obviously we're not going to go, hey, Xavier Woods beat Jinder Mahal to qualify for the finals of the King of the Ring tournament. I wonder what happens there. Austin Theory had a whole thing with R-Truth that led to just another match with Jeff Hardy. I didn't really like the way that had played out, but I'm glad that Theory won, just because I don't want Theory to really necessarily lose yet.
Right.
We got some Dirty Dog stuff. We got Mansoor and the whole split with the Crown Jewel thing that we talked about before. RK-Bro, Mace. Nothing really coming out here that I think we need to go back and talk about. Anything that you can think of?
Thankfully, Raw was the go-home for Crown Jewel, so now it's leading towards next week.
And John Morrison did some meditation, etc. On the NXT... Let's go NXT UK first, just because there's nothing really to say. And by that, I mean, there's nothing to say.
Next week, we got Dafty Noam Dar and Tyler Bate. And I'm looking forward to it.
I honestly don't think I'm going to bother watching. I kind of just don't care. I'm glad I got the spoilers. So if you want to know what happens, go to smartcutmoment.com. But
I mean, you have a damn good reason for not watching on a Thursday next week.
True. So, NXT. Now, there are things to unpack with NXT, and we will talk about this episode, and then we'll get into our predictions for next week, because next week is Halloween Havoc. And this was our go-home show for Halloween Havoc, in a sense, because next show is Halloween Havoc. But we had an intro thing that was... kind of fun segment. It was Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams talking about how Hayes had won the North American Championship, and that turned into a thing where Johnny Gargano came out. He has turned babyface, full blown, and he has also endorsed that Dexter Lumis is his son-in-law.
It's super weird.
I liked it. He's just kind of like, you know, like my son-in-law, whatever, and it's like, you know, they're talking about, oh, your daughter slid into my DMs or whatever, and for a split second, I'm like, ew, that's really gross. They're talking about, like, Candace is... And then I'm like, wait, no, they're going to have a boy, and they would not do that. Oh, Indy. I'm like, oh, I get it. Like, it was just this moment of me being like, ew, what the hell? This is disgusting. Oh, wait, okay. Like, you know, because it was right after he said Candace is home pregnant, and then I'm just kind of like, wait, what? Like, they're not that insane. But that's going to... That's going to lead to a segment for next week that's being advertised where to get the North American Championship belt back, Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes are going to have to go through whatever it is that the machinations that Dexter Lumis has planned. It's like an open house, haunted house kind of deal or something.
Maybe another haunted house deal, or Zombie Ref, who was at the wedding, is going to be like, Hey, I'm back. I'm the Scarecrow Hayes.
Yeah, it's going to be some kind of vignette segment like that, which that could be kind of fun. And the couple other matches that we had, a lot of them really didn't factor into Halloween Havoc in any means. Like, you know, Aussie Jones beat Andre Chase the way that we would have expected. Imperium fought the Creed brothers. That was kind of interesting. They usually don't do heel-heel like that, especially when they're pushing both.
I was going to say, is Imperium babyface now?
Nope. Well, I mean, I don't know, because here's what's confusing. Imperium beats the Creed brothers. And
they get cheered.
They do it because of a distraction from Ikki Manjiro and Kushida. After the match, MSK attacks Imperium from behind, and the crowd boos.
Yep.
Which, there's nothing at all that indicated to me that MSK turned heel and Imperium turned babyface, so I'm really curious why that's what happened.
Because they're just letting the people speak.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe the crowd's just kind of like, yeah, you know, we kind of want Imperium to win. So those titles are on the line. It's another spin the wheel, make a deal type of thing. We don't know what the gimmick is going to be, but it's going to have some sort of a gimmick to it. I think we're getting new tag champs.
I hope so. I think MSK is good. I think they need to go up to main roster.
And they've held it long enough. No reason not to. Now, I did think that Imperium had already had their shot and that they should move on and it should be the Creed brothers eventually winning, but maybe they go with the Imperium thing here, and then maybe it bounces around and, you know, whatever. Or maybe this is just another one of those cases where they have another match where MSK retains and then the Creed brothers beat them down the line or something. I do think we're getting new tag champs, but I also think that it all depends on the other championships, because I don't think every belt's changing hands, and I do kind of think that some of the other ones might. So I would say, like, I'm 51% Imperium winning, but I'll probably lower that to, like, 48 in the next couple days. It all depends on some of the other matches.
My gut says I would go with new champions. I would try to put it on the Creed Brothers as fast as possible, but, you know, you can't always get your wish.
And we had a vignette where Von Wagner and Kyle O'Reilly were doing some good old-fashioned hucking logs and chopping some wood and, you know, Paul Bunyan-y type stuff.
Log. It's big, it's heavy, it's wood.
Yeah, this vignette was better than bad. It was good. Joe Gacy is calling Harlan his little snowflake.
What is this? What is this? Like,
I mean, if you take it at face value, Harlan is, as you had, I think, referred to him, like a hulking incel. Something like that.
Isn't that the vibe that he gives off?
And then Joe Gacy is like a manipulative, I'm going to work with the way that people are talking about things these days type of heel, where he's disingenuous about the idea of a safe space and everything, because obviously you can't say you're in a safe space to be a fighter. And like, I think their game plan here is to try to turn Harlan babyface down the line, where it'll be like, he is this damaged person who just needed a friend, and Gacy was manipulating him so that he can beat the crap out of him, and then Harlan is like, I think that's their game plan, though.
I don't like it.
It's a little strange, I'll admit. It's not my least favorite thing on the card, but it's not my favorite by far.
Whatever. It's so strange.
Cora Jade beat Electra Lopez. Cora Jade's doing some fun stuff. I'm liking her.
Yeah, I like Elektra. Elektra adds to the package of a Legado. So, that's cool. Cora Jade's cool. This is good.
What is the package of Legado? Do you say that? Is that Legado del package? Or something like that?
It would actually be package del Legado.
JC Jane had a scary situation going on. There was a triple threat. Io Shirai, JC Jane, and Persia Perota. And something we've talked about before, suicide dives. Stop it. She went for a suicide dive. She landed on her head. And she was taken out of the match, which then it just became Io against Persia. And Io defeated Persia by pinfall. And for a while there, we're hearing, well, we don't know what's going on yet. And I missed the suicide dive at first. I was just typing up the other results. And I thought she got injured during Io's moonsault. So I was just kind of like, that didn't seem like that hurt that bad. How are they taking out JC Jane? I don't understand this. And then I ran into an issue where I couldn't, for some reason, Xfinity was not working right, where I when I was rewinding, it kept playing the moonsault. And it, like, no matter where I kept going backward, it just kept jumping forward when it would hit play. So it took me like a solid 5 minutes to keep rewinding to see the suicide dive. And then I'm like, oh yeah, shit. No, that's where she got injured. Of course, because she lands on her head and that's not good.
You don't say.
And I just don't understand why people keep doing this move, because it doesn't pop the audience as much anymore. And it's on like every match and people keep getting injured. It's called a suicide dive. It is one of the most dangerous moves that has injured people with concussions. They've hurt their wrist. They've hurt their legs. Like, you know, they break an ankle or whatever it might be. Like, there are so many ways to get injured on this. And all you get out of the positives for it is people are like, ah, it doesn't really pop anybody anymore. Stop doing them. Unless you know exactly what you're doing and you nail it every time type of a deal. Or you're Darby Allin where you're just like, oh, fucking lawn dart me and I'll, you know, whatever. It's not worth it. And I really hope that JC Jane doesn't do this anymore.
I completely agree. Stupid spot, not worth it. I hope she's okay.
For the accounts that I've seen so far, it seems like she is okay.
Which is good news.
Yeah. Obviously, it's good news, yeah. So, she should be competing in the scheduled triple threat match for next week, which is now going to be a Stairway to Hell ladder match. Now, this is where I don't mind when they do the gimmicky names. When people would be like, oh, Tony, don't you hate this because you hate the no DQ, no holds barred, extreme rules, street fight kind of deal? No. If it's a Miracle on 34th Street fight, that's gimmicky because that's just the name that's gimmicky. And I'm cool with that. But there's nothing gimmicky about no holds barred, unsanctioned, street fight, no DQ, that kind of deal. So you call it Stairway to Hell ladder match? The reason why is because it's not the Stairway to Heaven. And it's just a ladder match. They're not trying to act like it's another type of a match. It's just, LOL, here's a funny pun, ladder match.
Like, what was it last year? Tables, ladders, and scares.
Right.
That's very funny.
So, like, all those names, have fun with it. Yeah, do that. Do the trick or street fight, if they have that in the mix again. And do the candy cane and the,
Miracle on 34th Street fight.
In that match, do the, candy corn in the trick or street fight. Like, yeah, play around with that. And I'm going to be totally cool with it. Stairway to Hell ladder match? Maybe they gussy up the ladder and make it kind of look like spiderwebs or something like that. Like, cool.
I'm all for it.
And I think we're getting new tag champs. I think that Toxic Attraction is winning.
We can't be wrong a third time. Toxic Attraction is winning.
A third time? Did they do two matches?
I swear this is like the second time. I might be conflating them with Raquel, but, like, I feel like we keep saying, oh, no, this is it. They're losing, and then they don't lose.
We had a video package for the Raquel Gonzalez against Mandy Rose feud. That title match is happening next week as well. And honestly,
I think every title changes. I'll go ahead and spoil it for the main event, too. I think every title changes hands next week.
I think at least two do. Maybe three. I don't think all four. And I kind of want Mandy Rose to win, because I think that Raquel is at a point now where it's like, all right, well, what are you going to do with her if she doesn't lose? Bring her up to the main roster. See what's going on.
I'm all for that. I think Raquel should go to the main roster.
And Mandy hasn't won a damn thing, so give her that.
Absolutely.
Trey Baxter got attacked by Legado del Fantasma. That guy can't catch break. Ikemijiro was super excited to give Kushida his sunglasses and his vest. I thought that was funny. We got the debut of Ru Feng against Tony D'Angelo. Hey!
Tony, you got a D'Angelo there, hey?
And they went full-blown into it. They were just like, you know what? He is a babyface. We're going to address it on commentary. They're going to be like, the crowd just ate it up, and we're going to pivot. And it turned into something that was one of my favorite parts of the whole night, which is afterwards, Samantha Irvin gets her microphone. She's going to interview him, and she's like, essentially, hey, we know you abducted that producer last week. And he's like, here you go, honey, get you, here's some money, get yourself something nice, and forget about it, and just walks away. I'm like, fuck yeah, I love it. It's great. It is an 11 on a 10 scale of a character type of a thing. They're just, get sillier with it. Make it to the point where the forget about it thing is like, wow, that was tame compared to where we go in the future. Tony D'Angelo popping up 2 weeks ago, and he's immediately becoming one of these guys where I'm like, oh man, I want to see more Tony D'Angelo.
I love it.
But I loved the delivery of that. Just answer the money, you get yourself something nice, and forget about it.
I love it. I love that they're going full character, full Italian stare at that. Get yourself some gabagool.
Yeah, he's got to do something like that. It's gotta be like, you know, I'm gonna pick up some gabagool and I'm gonna...
Hey, I'm needing some gabagool over here. What are you doing? Trying to interview with me with your microphone and such.
And like, he's gotta have like a group of friends and it's all, they all have names like, you know, here's like the Bacala brothers and here's...
here's Johnny Piscatelli, eats a pizza pie.
Maybe they can bring back Tino Sabatelli.
That's how you get him.
They'll be like, is he Tino Sabatelli? Is he Tino Pescatelli? Is he Sabatino Fonzarelli? Is he...
I see this diamond mine here. I see the Cristata brothers, the Cristini brothers. What is this?
I was talking to my brother, Rigatoni Farfalle, and he's...
Yeah, can I understand something? The Rigatoni brothers, they're going to get it.
Leave a comment below. What's your favorite shape of pasta? Now, you could do the same thing that I do where you go, well, it depends on what you're eating it with. I'm going to eat tortellini Alfredo, but I'm going to have, you know, say if I'm going to have, like, shells, then they're going to be in spaghetti sauce, like that kind of thing. But talk about some pasta in the comments below.
Rigatoni.
Rigatoni's good. Not my favorite, but rigatoni's good. I'm going to eat, one of my go-tos is just regular linguine. It works with almost everything. But
you found the angel hair? Like the thick?
Angel hair way more over... thicker spaghetti.
All right.
Yeah, go get some cappellini.
Hey!
Duke Hudson's poker room is always open, and he had a line here that I'm like, you know what? And I tweeted about it again today because I ran the same vignette on 205 Live. I don't like the idea that they're just like, he plays poker, that's his thing, but they spun it into a way that I'm like, shit, now I like it, which is he beats a guy in poker. He's like, you know, I'm like a card shark and whatever. And you might as well call me the house because the house always wins, whether it's in the poker room or in the ring. And I'm like, fuck yes, I like that. Because this dude's pretty huge. And if he's like, oh, it's the house, Duke Hudson, and the house always wins, whether you step in the ring with him or whatever, I'm like, yeah. Fuck yeah.
I like it, first of all. Second of all, we gotta get some Russian fur.
Some baccarat in the mix, yeah, just Sweevy.
Sweevy.
Well, if we get Hudson just being like Banco in the middle of things.
Yeah, but I like it. I like Duke Hudson. Wrestling has a gambling problem in 2021.
But right now, Tony Khan's like, shit, I wish I could have gotten Duke Hudson. I could have put him on my The House Always Wins, Double or Nothing, Deadly Draw Tournament,
Casino
Ladder Battle Royale match, whatever. Yeah.
But yeah, I like it. Characters are good.
Legato beats Brooke Jensen and Josh Briggs, the BJ and JB.
Generic as fuck.
Black Shaq Brooks and Justin Hawk Josh. That's what they are. No, maybe it should be the other thing. Justin Hawk Jensen and Black Shaq Black Jack Briggs. Hard to say. Screw it. New Black Jacks.
I should have said Justin Hawk Rickshaw, but okay.
Justin Hawk Rickshaw?
Brigshaw.
Brigshaw. It's Brooks Shaw and Big Brigshaw. There you go. And they can be, it's JBL and BJ and JB. And then Jeremy Borash can be a bunch of the mix.
There you go.
Let's see what we got here. We got LA Knight beat Grayson Waller. Now LA Knight will be the host of Halloween Havoc. Let me talk to you.
Some boogeyman stuff.
Probably get something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And Tommaso Ciampa and Bron Breakker beat the Grizzled Young Veterans in the finale of the night. Just
Bron
to kind of
Breakker should win the title.
I'm of two opinions. Mostly I want Breakker to win, but I do think that there might be a reasoning to have Ciampa retain and Breakker like just barely lost, so it could be like, all right, well, you know, the veteran had a trick up his sleeve, but Breaker's gonna get there, that kind of deal. It all sort of depends on where they want to go with some other people, because if they have a heel lined up that can beat Ciampa that Breakker can beat, I like that better. But if they don't have anything in mind, Ciampa might as well just give it up to Breakker then, you know?
Yeah, and I'm all for crowning Breakker at a Halloween Havoc event. We know the family history. I think that means so much to him. I'm all for crowning Breakker.
We also know that we're going to get Solo Sikoa next week in a debut.
Samoans don't usually miss.
And I think that that's all that we have lined up for Halloween Havoc, if I'm remembering correctly. I don't remember them announcing anything else, or at least I don't have it written down.
It should be a decent show. It's a different NXT, but this should be a good time, and I'm really just hoping they give the title to Bron Breakker.
So I guess we're going to find that out on Tuesday night, and then let's come back around here to talk about some AEW stuff and some SmackDown stuff. For all Rampage, right, and whatnot, because I tell you, I did not watch Dynamite this week, man.
Again, it's just unwatchable.
Yeah, you know, I thought about it and I said, you know what, I'm not even gonna turn my TV on to TNT at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. I'm not even gonna do it.
I'm not even gonna try.
Mm-mm. I bet I didn't miss much.
Didn't miss a thing, I bet.
Rampage though did air, and I missed the first little bit of it because I was watching 205 Live. I had just do coverage of that, so I didn't actually get to see the matches, like the Orange Cassidy and Powerhouse Hobbs match. I didn't get to see most of Baker and Anna Jay. I pretty much tuned in right around the time that Ty Conchi had saved Anna Jay for the post-match beatdown. And I honestly didn't actually pay too much specific attention to Pac and Andrade. What I did see, I liked. It seemed like that was probably a damn good match, but I just didn't get a chance to actually watch it. It was just peripheral vision type of stuff.
Yeah, Rampage was fine. Andrade and Pac was a really good match. Pac is even with him now, 1-1. Got into like a weird brawl at the end with Malakai Black and Cody Rhodes getting in there with those two. So it looks like that tag team match might be an actual thing. And Baker and Anna Jay, good match. You know, both women can be really good. I think Anna Jay still has a little bit to learn. She's only had like 30 matches maybe, so she's still got a little bit to learn, but that was a lot of fun. And Orange Cassidy rolled up Powerhouse Hobbs because he's from wherever anyways, whatever.
So I showed a friend of mine Orange Cassidy the other day because he doesn't really watch AEW. And he was like, you know, like, so I hear that AEW's kind of got the better show and whatever. I'm like, well, they do in some ways. Like, you know, AEW's not perfect, but they do tend to have some more consistency and less extra BS that kind of weighs it down and whatever. And I'm like, you know, there's this guy, there's that guy, there's this person, like that kind of thing. And I mentioned Orange Cassidy and he's like, yeah, I don't know him. So I'm like, oh, dude, he's the best. Like, let me show you this stuff. And he's just like, yeah, absolutely love this guy. Like, thought that, in particular, that the kicks were really funny. And like, OC, absolutely yeah. One of my favorites.
He's a good time. Not everybody can do what he does, but he has a good time.
So the post-match thing with Pac and Andrade, Malakai Black comes out, and he and Andrade end up fighting Pac and Cody Rhodes and Arn Anderson to an extent. Arn going full blown. I'm just going to pretend like I'm going to shoot people and whatever. I love the armed Anderson thing. I think that that's great. But there you go. That's kind of one of those things that was on that sheet, that the Tony Khan sheet, where it said Cody versus Malakai Black or Andrade or Miro or maybe a straight tag. So I think what we're getting there is we're getting Cody and Pac against Black and Andrade. I don't know where my Miro's in there.
That certainly seems like what they're going towards. I think Miro will end up fighting Sammy again at some point. But that's definitely where it looks like where they're going.
Well, Inner Circle's fighting American Top Team. So Miro versus Sammy would have to happen elsewhere. But maybe Miro's just not on the card. Not everybody makes the card. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that happens. And AEW, they're fine when people don't make the card.
So, very curiously, Andrade tweeted out after the match, F you, WWE. And WrestleVotes, who, you know, I mean, WrestleVotes does not just spell everything out 100% as everything goes all the time, but WrestleVotes put up, in response to that, this is only the beginning of the story that unfolded tonight.
I have no idea what could have happened, but I am genuinely curious, and I'm hoping it's a good story.
I don't have any idea what this could possibly be hinting towards.
No clue at all myself. No clue at all.
Because, I mean, it's not like they've got a situation where, you know, the next thing we're going to find out is that Charlotte Flair, Ric Flair, and Zelina Vega are all going to AEW or something like that. That's not going to happen with Charlotte being the way that she is in the company and a champion and whatnot. And then there's the whole Zelina Vega just became Queen's Crown winner.
Right. I'm not going to say too much because I don't know what's happening, but I can't wait till we hear an expanded thought on that.
I'm going to speculate because what the hell, why not? The only thing I can think of is that they plan on doing something based off of people that are, like, steering into the skid more of, like, let's prove WWE wrong. Yeah, I don't know how they really do it.
We might just be entering, easy for me to say, another one of those eras where everybody just kind of bashes WWE.
Like, at the end of every match, it just becomes like, hey, I want you guys to tweet out how great your match was to really, like, keep the discussion going, because it ends up being, like, Young Bucks and Top Dollar and this person and that person. Everybody just keeps going back and forth, and I think that they're having fun with it. And I think that the fans... I was going to say, I think that a lot of them are having fun with it, and I think a lot of them are playing into the idea that a lot of fans don't... Like, they take it a little bit more seriously than they should, you know? Because there are a lot of people that are just sort of like, oh, you know, now I hate the Young Bucks because they said, well, it's like, oh, come on. Like, I'm sure a lot of these people are just buds. They're just breaking balls and stuff. But the Andrade one does not come off as some kind of, like, playful shot sort of thing. That comes off as, see, motherfuckers, this is how I could actually wrestle if you would have let me. And now I'm, like, riding high on that wave and I'm just going to be like, you know, screw Vince or whatever. Some other people are speculating, and I don't buy into some of these things, but I'm just going to toss it out there because it's the chatter. People in the tweets are, you know, saying like, oh, is this some kind of a thing that maybe AEW and WWE are going to work together on something, which I highly doubt that's going to be the case. Somebody's like, well, is there going to be a stable of anti-WWE former wrestlers teaming up or something, which I'm like, well, then that becomes like half the AEW roster. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But other people are, I think, just completely marking it up when it comes to this. One of the segments we got on SmackDown was that Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair had their title exchange. It was the main event. And people are like, you see how pissed Becky was? She threw the championship. That means that maybe she didn't want to do that. And that Charlotte, whatever, and she used her. And it's like, no, that's like, that's characters. Like,
wow, it's almost like you apply logic, Tony.
Yeah, I don't know why people are thinking that that means anything to do with the Andrade thing. And if it does, then holy shit, they pulled one on me, because I would not have thought, you know, Becky not trusting Charlotte and having feuded with her for years, and Charlotte being a pompous, I am holding the championship type of character that she always has been for years, trading championships, and then Becky leaving, and then Sasha fighting with Charlotte would have anything to do at all with Andrade saying, fuck you, WWE. I can't imagine that that would be the case.
And I'm going to be honest, I highly doubt we ever get a reason.
It might not. It might have just been F you, WWE, whatever. But I don't think it has anything to do with him trying to stand up for Charlotte. I don't think that it has anything to do with him involved with Selena Vega, just because of the Malakai Black thing. You know, people are always going to incorporate that. Like, that's their connection point is Vega, and Vega's in WWE and she's queen. So I can't imagine that Vega's going to pop up on AEW after this, but how crazy would that be? Just to say it, how crazy would it be if they were like, we'll give you this queen's crown thing if you stay. And then she's like, thanks for crowning me. I'm going to opt to not have my contract or whatever. I quit. And I'll sit out my term or something. You know, like, again, the likelihood of that is like 0.01%, but it's just, it's fun to think about.
It's fun to think about. Yeah. Like, that's exactly all it is. And yeah, it is fun to think about. Keeps the brain going. Keeps things exciting. But I am going to guess that Andrade one came from the heart, because he was just like, yeah, F you, WWE.
So the other two talking points from SmackDown, at least I feel like talking about, Kofi Kingston crowned king. I'm doing all this alliteration. Kofi Kingston crowned king of the coronation of King Woods. Love it.
The best thing about that, nobody interrupted.
Oh, I was waiting for it, yeah.
Yeah, it just went, and he was crowned, and everybody's happy, and I loved it.
No heel turn, no, you know, Kofi is going to hand him the scepter, and he bashes him over the head and goes, oh, you think you're better than me? Like, no, that kind of deal. Nope, he's just sort of like, my bud won, and Xavier Woods is like, fuck yeah, I won. I've always wanted to be King of the Ring. This is pretty sweet. And it's like, yeah, it's awesome. Good things are good.
Things are good, yeah.
The other talking point being Brock Lesnar at the beginning of the show. So Roman Reigns starts off saying, well, Brock Lesnar's talking about how he's going to kick my ass. Then why doesn't he come out here and do it? Because I'm beating the shit out of everybody else and whatever. And he called attention to the fact that Paul Heyman didn't give him the championship belt. And, you know, the allegiance is in question and everything. But then Brock comes out, beats the crap out of everybody that he possibly can, including the Usos, the cameraman, some referees, some officials. Ends up, the crowd goes nuts when he's beating the crap out of the roster members even and everything. He holds up the championship. He's posing, you know, I'm going to be the next Universal Champion. Eventually, after the commercial break, Adam Pearce comes out and he says, you know, like, you can't do that, so you're indefinitely suspended. And then Brock comes back out.
Yeah.
And he gives him an F5. The crowd chants one more time. And then during this F5... Adam Pearce ends up splitting his pants, and like, could that not have worked out any better? Because that just goes like, he F5'd him out of his pants.
I want to hear you say that Brock Lesnar's fun, Tony.
He's fucking great.
There is.
I will always admit everything with an honest thing. This was great. I loved it, and I'm more excited to see another rematch. I still don't want to see it at WrestleMania.
I'm more convinced now that it's happening at the Royal Rumble.
Well, the indefinite suspension to me means that they're at least taking time off. And we know that that's going to be the case when it comes to Survivor Series anyway, so cool. And we know that we don't have a pay-per-view in December. So it literally is only going to be day one, Royal Rumble, or WrestleMania. It's those three options and nothing else.
Right now, I have it either as McIntyre, Rumble, Lesnar day one, or McIntyre day one, Lesnar, Royal Rumble. But there's no way that they do it at Mania. I think Mania is Lesnar or Lashley.
I kind of lean a little bit more towards day one might be the Lesnar match. Because if Nick Khan is saying, like, well, we need to make this a thing, and let's sacrifice TLC for it, maybe they also think that's where the priority should be, and it should be Brock there. It's January 1st. That's a weird time to be doing it, you know?
It definitely is, but they seem excited about it. So I kind of like it, because I like that it means that Survivor Series is the last pay-per-view of the year. And I like that we're starting off the year with a pay-per-view.
I don't like that they're doing day one, just in the sense that I'm going to have to do fucking pay-per-view coverage on January 1st.
Well, ask yourself this. After the ball drops, are you really doing anything on New Year's Day?
I mean, last year I was cutting my fucking finger.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's, you see, maybe you don't need to be doing that. You need to be doing pay-per-view coverage instead.
But I also usually go through and I make January 1st the day that I put up all the new, like, here's the pay-per-view schedule on the website, here's the new list of heel and face turns, all that stuff. And I don't want to have to do that again. And it also throws me off, I'll admit it. This is just me being, like, my little OCD kind of catching me. But, like, the last video of every year is that Smark Out Moment Awards thing. Now you're going to make me do predictions for day one if I do it. Or I don't do predictions for year one or day one. Nah, I don't like it. If you did day two, where I could make the first video of the year, the predictions, and day two, so whatever, maybe it'd be a different story, but... Yeah. Boo.
Yeah, you'll get over it. It should be a fun
time. I won't. I'll never get over it.
Well, then what can you do?
I'll be 113 years old, and I'll be like, that day one thing. Yeah, right. Like, I'm going to live that long. Like, I'm going to live to 2023.
Just, look, you're getting married. You can't make those jokes anymore. Just make sure you get to at least the wedding.
If I can't make it to a week from now, then we got a problem as I crack my back. But those are the hot tags. I don't think there's anything else to really talk about. Anything else you can think of?
Nope. Those are the hot tags, and mostly positive. Good things are good, and hopefully things stay positive for the rest of the year.
God forbid it doesn't, because, man, if you're not going to give us...
shitty year.
You're not going to give us at least to the end of the year. Come on.
I think we've earned till at least the end of the year.
Yeah. At this point, I'll take a couple good days in particular, but
I'll take an hour.
I hope that you guys are having a good day. We hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Hot Tags. Drop your comments below. Tell us your thoughts on anything else that we are talking about here, or if anything else happens that you want to talk about, just chat it up. Chat it up between, you know, talk amongst yourselves, as the SNL thing used to be. If you got something else to say, you want to have a deep discussion on the merits of Tubatini versus Orzo, about the pasta discussion or something, I don't know, go ahead and do that. And reflect on the Champsgiving tournament, talk about your predictions of Halloween Havoc, all the other good stuff. And while you are doing that, make sure just to double check that you are subscribed to the channel and that you hit the like button. That way it'll help us out. When you follow all over the place on smartcutmoment.com and fanboysanonymous.com, you also should be checking us out on Facebook and Twitter. For Fanboys, of course, you're at fanboysanon on Twitter, fanboysanonymous on Facebook, on smartcutmoment. It's both at just smartcutmoment, because it's easier that way. And I am at Tony Mango all over the place. Again, if you click on the things, you'll click on it. You'll see all of, you know, the other options and stuff for a mango tree and whatnot. Rob is at Dude Felice all over the place.
I am, and you can follow me on Twitter at Dude Felice, on Instagram at Dude Felice, on Twitch at Dude Felice, everywhere. And you should also be checking out Fightful.com and Fightful Select. as Sean Ross staff works very hard, as does the rest of the team on Fightful, Gisberto Guzzo, Jeremy Lambert, and myself. We work very hard, so please check that out.
All right, everybody, stay tuned for the next thing, which is going to be kind of a mishmash. It is the hot tags mixed with the mailbag as a live episode. It's the 10-year anniversary of Smack Talk, so it's kind of a Smack Talk scramble. It is a state of the WWE universe and pro wrestling in general address if we get into those topics. It is
a state of life address.
It's essentially, it's a live, we'll see. kind of episode, and we don't know not exactly
all the wood, because when we go live these things turn into disasters. Start getting released, but you know, we'll see.
I mean, I really hope it doesn't become one of those episodes, god forbid. I don't know when we're doing it 100% because the week is as crazy as it is. I'm assuming Wednesday afternoon. I'm assuming probably around 3 o'clock Eastern time, so try to join us. And if you can't join us, send in your mailbag questions ahead of time for some talking points that you want us to address on the show. I would love to take some of the mailbag to talk about the history of Smack Talk. We did kind of talk about that a couple weeks ago when we did our 500th episode, so I'm not going to just bog down on the same discussion points. But, you know, I mean, it's 10-year anniversary. I kind of want to reflect a little bit too. But it's not going to be a 9-hour episode or anything, so we will just kind of keep it to wherever it seems like it's natural. We'll talk about the live chat stuff if anybody is hanging out in the live chats. Obviously, if you have some kind of a question on like the super chat type of thing or something like that, then that takes priority as well. And that's another way to help us out. And I don't know. Yeah, just stay tuned for that. And then you'll be getting into some of the other stuff that we had pre-recorded over the past couple of weeks. We're going to do some things on the mock draft stuff, the fantasy booking. You're going to have 6 episodes of mock draft and pay-per-view cards and the combo ultimate roster of all time and the ultimate pay-per-view card of all time. That stuff was a ton of fun. I don't even know the length of however many hours the content is, but I do know that the final one's like 3 hours and 40 minutes long. So
I will tell you that I give you the best card. I emphasize the word fantasy. We have a good time. And yeah.
So I'm looking at it now. The combined time for these episodes, take a guess.
11 hours, 43 minutes, 26 seconds.
You are so fucking close. 11 hours, 38 minutes, and 33 seconds. You are just a few minutes off.
And there it is. You know, yeah. I was there.
So, over 11 and a half hours coming your way over the course of the beginning of November up until we get to Survivor Series. No full gear kind of content, at least on just my end, but maybe these guys do something else. Depends on how I'm going to be able to edit things and stuff.
Your ass better be in full gear.
Huh? I mean, I'll have a suit on. Yeah.
Well, yeah, better enjoy it.
No chaps like Hangman Page, but
you're in Brazil. You better be enjoying a full honeymoon.
The AEW full honeymoon post show. That's what it'll be. But yeah, that's what's coming up next. And then once we get into the Survivor Series stuff, we'll, you know, hopefully do the post show. It's a game plan. I don't know how I'm going to pull it off, but I'm going to try my best. It just might not happen. I don't know to guarantee for sure. And then hopefully we do fantasy booking, the ultimate Survivor Series card of all time. We not have TLC stuff. So the next couple of weeks after that, we're going to get into whatever.
We're going to get into, hey, can you believe it was a year ago that we started watching all the James Bond movies? It's going to be just a lot of reflection and fun.
Hopefully a lot of good stuff coming your way for all this that you guys will enjoy coming up. And we'll see you when we see you for the next one on Wednesday or so. I don't know when you're listening to this. Maybe it's like 2 years afterward and then we will have already seen you. In which case,
happy anniversary.
That's the case, then I'll be like, hey, future everybody, what's up? Come back in time, save us. And we will talk to you next time, everybody. But now, this has been another Smark Out moment, and we are being counted out.